Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Episode 26 features harpist, composer, teacher, and author of the article titled, Do I Have to Learn This? Rachel Brandwine. To get things started, I'll let Rachel introduce herself.
My name is Rachel Brandwine, and I live in Richfield, Minnesota. I teach at College of St. Benedict, St. John's University, as well as at Luther College. And I write music, and I freelance and concertize, and I absolutely adore what I do.
Sometimes we don't have a choice with what we learn, and sometimes that means learning music that we don't love. Rachel's article, featured in the September-November 2017 issue of Harp Column, is all about rising above, empowering ourselves to take a new perspective, and allowing ourselves to learn from our experiences and those of our teachers. I asked Rachel to share what first inspired her to pursue this topic.
I was preparing for a chamber music concert, and there was a new work, a suite, that was written for the combination of flute, harp, and piano. One movement of the suite was taking a very, very long time to learn, and I was getting quite frustrated. And then I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, what do I keep telling my students? What do I suggest to learn things more efficiently? How do I approach empowering my students to feel like they can master something that they're learning? I really wanted to take those things and kind of offer them to myself instead of just starting to get frustrated. And so I started writing down my ideas. You know, if I were sitting in the teacher's chair, how would I approach this piece of music with a student? And truth be told, it was kind of completely different than the way I was approaching it myself. So I was writing down my ideas and I started trying to empower myself about it. I actually can learn this movement, this piece of music. It was a little unidiomatic and there were not many patterns and fingering was a bear. And so that's what prompted me to start putting all my ideas down and kind of suggesting to myself the things that I suggest to my students.
How did you decide on the contributors that you included in your article?
I included two harp students that I taught at Interlochen Arts Camp last summer. One of them is a private student from Duluth, Minnesota, who I teach, and so she was there as a student. And then one of them, Julia, I have taught for the last few summers there, and she has been to the camp probably 6 or 7 years. So I knew Julia really well. So I knew these students, and I really valued what they had to say on the topic. And then I asked two Minnesota instructors who I really admire, and one of my wonderful colleagues also in Atlanta. And so I pooled all of these ideas together, and I loved interviewing them because their personalities as instructors came out, and I learned something new about each of my colleagues in the process.
Did you know that you can pitch ideas for Harp Column? We're always looking for new voices to feature and would love to hear your ideas. Writing a feature article for Harp Column is an opportunity to research a topic that you're interested in, connect with colleagues, and it makes for a nice little side hustle. If you have a great idea for an article that you'd like to write, send our amazing editor Allison an email at areese@harpcolumn.com. As soon as I read Rachel's article, I knew that we would hit it off. She exudes a kind of positive energy bubble that is just contagious. Her ideas around mindful and meaningful practice are applicable to so much more than just playing music that you don't like. I was curious for her to share more about her beliefs around teaching.
One of my philosophies as a teacher is to empower my students, empower them when they're on their own, when they're not sitting in a lesson. How would they approach something? I'm teaching them how to teach themselves. And so, again, the word empower is really, really important to me. How to help them feel like they can tackle anything put in front of them, whether or not I'm sitting right there. Besides helping empower students, I love working with a student and helping them figure out how they learn. That is so important to me. I ask a lot of questions when I teach because I want to know how my students learn, and I want them to then be able to analyze these things. Then I can help them in whatever ways they're learning, learn about themselves. One of my big goals as being a teacher is helping students find their niche. It took me a little while to find that. I found my calling to be a teacher during my doctorate degree. The experience that I've gone through finding my niche is a musician and as a harpist and as a teacher. I want to help my students find that. I don't care if it's in music. They're sitting at the harp and I'm working with them, but I'm working with them as a whole person. It's not just about the music. I want to give back what I've been given and also what I've taught myself sitting at the instrument, working with my own music. I value so much the experience of taking lessons and studying from different teachers, as well as my experience of taking master classes. It's almost like each teacher has a different flavor of their teaching and of their brilliance and of their creativity and imagination. And so when I think back to Lynn Asmus or Nancy Allen or working with Joan Holland throughout the past several summers, and even with my time with Jermaine Lorenzini in Lyon, France, I think of a different flavor of their teaching. It's really, really endearing to me when phrases or musical metaphors come out in my teaching to my students from these teachers. It helps me still feel connected to their magic. And it also has helped me run with what I've been taught and then teach myself. Every time I sit down at the harp, I'm always working on what is more efficient. How am I moving my hand? How is this certain movement or approach to what I'm doing in some respect or another? How is this serving the music? How am I being an instrument to my instrument?
Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Music at harpcolummusic.com, where you can download PDFs of some of the best new arrangements and compositions for solo, ensemble, and chamber harp. Head over to check out a whole bunch of new uploads, specifically in the ensemble category. I was excited to see Catherine Carter's collection of original duets for two lever or pedal harps, Enchanted Melodies. These simple duets are fun and engaging for young harpists. I used many of them this summer with my student at summer camp. Trolls was our favorite. You can get the PDFs of both parts on harpcolummusic.com for only $16. You're listening to Harp Column Podcast, episode number 26. You can read more harp news, feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. Rachel is also a composer of music for the harp. In this past year, she was commissioned by the harp and horn duo Apple Orange Pear in collaboration with an American Harp Society grant, and has finished a new work for solo harp titled The Pattern Wheel. I asked Rachel to share a little about her composing background and her music.
Well, I've been writing music since I started the harp. I was almost 10 years old, and my family members always really embraced that about me, and I loved doing it. I feel so fortunate that I was supported by my family growing up and my musical endeavors, but it was really them. They were my first, you know, this is beautiful, Rachel. Keep on doing it. Keep on expressing yourself through your music. There was a point in college, I really didn't write much. I was feeling very insecure about who I was and a lot of different things going on. I found composing again during grad school for the last about 10 or 12 years is when I feel like I really moved past a point of judging myself in what I'm playing or what I'm putting on the page. So that felt really, really great. I love to write solo harp music. I love to play things that I enjoy playing. My hands operate kind of a certain way, but I love exploring that and perhaps stretching that concept. I love incorporating my synesthesia into this. So color and texture, that goes a lot into how I write music and actually how I literally like see it on the page. It's a really fun process. It can feel like a birth-giving journey of sorts, trying to get ideas or get something I can already hear in my head out on the page. But it's really satisfying. When I write a piece, it's like an old friend. I really enjoy playing what I write.
Is most of your music for advanced harpists?
I wrote a lot of music when I was a teenager. And so that's a little more beginning, a little more simple, maybe Celtic in flavor. Compositions throughout the past several years have become more advanced. That's what I write mainly now. But I guess in heart of hearts, my style is more simple, I guess. So I need to keep writing. I need to keep writing and exploring all those different avenues. But yeah, in recent years, it's become a little complicated.
Thank you. Rachel mentions synesthesia as being a part of her music process. Synesthesia is a perceptual phenomenon in which stimulation of one sensory or cognitive pathway leads to automatic, involuntary experiences in a second sensory or cognitive pathway. Simply put, Rachel experiences music as color. Does that make sense? I'll let Rachel explain.
My most recent composition, The Pattern Wheel, which is a suite for harp solo, it's based off of patterns and color. The patterns are number in terms of key, so 5 flats, 4 flats, 3 flats, meter, 5-4, 4-4, 3-4, etc., and interval, the second movement, well, after the introduction, the first movement's based off the interval of a fifth, then it's based off the interval of a fourth, etc. When I see these intervals, like kind of in my mind or when I play them, I see a certain color. And in my case, the consecutive number 5-4-3-2-1, I see a rainbow. And so the first movement's called Blue 5 because I see the color blue. I mean, it's further than just color. It's like personality and gender, all these different things, components. It'd be really fascinating to meet other harpists who experience this. It really helps my music. It's like a new world. Oh, in memory, what I memorized a harp solo for one of my performances last spring, and I used color to help me with chords, like an F major chord is green. So if it's an F major chord or an F7 chord, that's a little bit of yellow in there. So I think of the color, and then I'm able to get around the harp and memorize the theory of it as well. Each pedal and the solfege has a color. And so in terms of my pedals, just a color pops in my head, and that can be the solfege or that can be the pedal. It's easier, I think, than going through the efforts of saying the syllables, or I do that too, but oftentimes the color or the texture of what I'm playing serves my memory and my recall quicker than anything else.
Do you experience anything like what Rachel is describing? I know she would love to connect with other harpists, synesthetes, and I encourage you to reach out to her. Rachel can be contacted through her website at www.rachelbrandwine.com. To close things out, I'd like to bring things back around to Rachel's article and the idea of bringing new perspective into your practice and daily routines.
Early on in the article, I used the quote, "Change the way you look at things and the things you look at change," by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And when I first started this article, that's what I thought of. I started every practice session with this movement that was just very, very challenging for me. And I'm thinking to myself, Rachel, you have empower yourself to change the way you're looking at this. You know, let's learn something here. What can we learn? And I started seeing it as almost, you know, a happy challenge, a good challenge, a fun thing to do. Let's sit down and how can I make this more efficient? You know, I was challenging myself to find new ways of looking at these things in this movement that were not making me very happy. So I like to suggest to teachers and students and, you know, everybody who's learning something or is having a challenging time to do that. It really, really works. And it's been one of the things that's helped me through some of my challenging times of just being a musician in general or my teaching or anything else.
Life.
Yeah.
That's it for our 26th episode. Many thanks to Rachel Brandwine for joining us today. Music for today's episode comes from Rachel's 2013 self-released CD, Colors Within, featuring Rachel performing her own compositions. This CD can be purchased through Rachel's website or on cdbaby.com. To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week.